Hi, Bill.
Whoops. Sorry about that.
Yeah, while we're apologizing, I guess I ought to apologize again for all those crazy numbers I gave you after TLI. A guy was calling out a projection, and you know, if you stopped burning right now, you'd have an apogee of 60,000 miles, 90,000. And I guess I was hearing those in one of my several ears, and I just did a transponder. And
were you passing those out?
Oh, man, I whipped in a lot of good things. Fortunately, you didn't hear. But I am sorry, and I hope the record's been properly purged. Yeah, well, we're settled down now, and part of our problem, I don't want to blame IBM or belabor the thing, but one of the problems we had this morning, that kind of information was really critical. And we're working with a data display thing, and I'd get the channel, and then the computer decides to change the channel, and it changes it to, say, the ECS readings, which I don't need. So then I hit the TV guide to find out what the new channel is, and meanwhile, and then it changes again. So we're constantly, changed, but we've now have it worked out where.
Well, I shouldn't let you.
I've been doing it about every announcement. I think we ought to hit it at least a couple times an hour. It's a running thing that. The distance from Earth and the receding feet per second. The distance will always be in nautical miles. Velocity always in feet per second. And if there are no further questions, no, sure, go ahead.
Are we ready?
Yeah.
Okay, I think we've gotten off to a very good start here. We got a little behind in the flight plan, I think, after TLI, but I think that's going to sort itself out shortly. To recap, I don't think the launch phase could have been any prettier from our point of view. Everything looked great. The booster performed its usual fine job and put us...
Could these gentlemen identify themselves? Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Cliff Charlesworth, flight director on Apollo 8, one of them. To continue, I think the booster did its usual fine job. The insertion was almost perfect, something like 99 by 103, targeting for 100 miles circular. That's pretty good workmanship. Nothing else, I don't think, of significance in launch phase. We seem to have reasonable communications all the way up. As far as the Earth parking orbit phase, everything appeared normal to us. You probably heard the exchange concerning the O2 high flow. This, we think, is the same thing that they went through on Apollo 7 with the dumping through the waste management and so forth. It's going to cause a little O2 high flow, and we expect that to stop somewhere around 8 hours elapsed, plus or minus a little. So we don't see any problem with that, and there's no concern. Coming across the states, we passed up a large number of updates and numbers, and I think you'll hear a good deal of this on the flight. These are the maneuver pad updates that we'll pass periodically. Everything looked good all the way across, and coming up across Carnarvon, we were all satisfied that the booster was in good shape for TLI and the spacecraft. TLI burn itself was again almost a replica of launch phase. In fact, it might even been a little better. All of our data indicated things occurred within 1 or 2 seconds of when we had predicted them to occur. The cutoff itself was very, very good. As I recall, the estimates were in terms of mid-course was something like 9 to 10 feet per second mid-course maneuver required. Now, I'll talk some more about that later. Following TLI cutoff, the booster again properly sequenced through from its IU computer and went to the proper attitude within a few degrees. Everything normal on the boosters, spacecraft following the burn again was all normal, and the separation maneuver was performed on time. They separated, turned around, and did the formation flying for a few minutes and initiated the 1.5 foot per second separation maneuver approximately on time. Now, this is where we ran into the first little surprise of the day, and I'm sure we'll find some more surprises before we get back. For some reason, and I don't know the answer yet, we'll have to try to piece it back together. We didn't quite get the separation distance we were looking for following that maneuver. This could have been caused by several things. So we started looking toward doing another additional maneuver to get a little more separation distance from the booster prior to its dump of the remaining propellants. We did this maneuver about 8 feet per second with the RCS. We then were getting an opening between the two vehicles. The dump occurred on time from the booster. All that appeared to be normal. From that point on, we went into the remainder of the flight plan. And this negotiating back and forth, trying to sort out exactly where the booster was relative to the spacecraft, got us a little behind in the timeline. And I say again, I think we'll be catching up to that pretty shortly and be back on schedule. That's really about all I have. The spacecraft looks good, and all systems, all areas look good in the spacecraft. The booster is essentially through with this mission, and it's done a magnificent job. We will try to track the booster and have been tracking it. We will try to get a vector and possibly in a few hours be able to determine something in terms of what its trajectory will end up being. I guess that's about it. I think it's been a real fine day so far. Seems like a long one to me. And I think we're off to a good start. Mike, do you have anything to add?
No, I don't, Cliff. I think you covered it very well.
Did you cover the mid-course?
Let me say a couple more words about the mid-course. We were scurrying around with the second separation maneuver, and we finally determined to burn eight feet per second. We were looking at a 7 or 8 foot per second mid-course with the RCS eventually anyway. What we think we've gotten ourselves to now is that we'll probably have a mid-course maneuver somewhere from 9 to 11 hours, and the magnitude will be some 24, 25 feet per second. If this holds up, and again we have to track for a little longer, we'll probably do this maneuver with the SPS engine and thus get a check with the service propulsion engine prior to doing LOI. So we expect, and they'll work on this for the next couple of hours, to home in on when to make the mid-course, what size, and with the SPS engine, and we'll be back to the free return trajectory.
Of course, that has to be the greatest put-down remark of all time. As soon as we find the Earth, we'll do the burn. I just love that. Smug, you know. Okay, any questions? Henry? Wait for Mike, would you?
Why was the astronaut about these early suggestions to do 3 foot per second at the Earth?
Well, his problem was that he wanted to keep the booster in view when he did the maneuver, and I'll admit it got a little confusing. We were trying to figure out the best way to do that in terms of gimbal angles and attitude and so forth, and so it took a while to sort that out. But that was his concern, was that he wanted to keep the booster in view when he did the maneuver. Now, we finally elected to increase the magnitude of the maneuver because we used some time there sorting this out. And so we increased the magnitude to be sure we'd get some separation distance with the time we had remaining.
Follow that up. In which direction did you finally point to the spacecraft and administer the extra impulse?
Well, the velocity was in a radial direction, which is like so, away from the Earth.
Right in front there, Bill.
I'd like to ask Mike Collins about this. It seems to me that the quality of radio communication from the spacecraft is much clearer, much more intelligible this time than on any mission that I can recall. And I'm wondering if you can explain this. I think it's not something that I noted alone. Everybody's been commenting about it.
No, I think it's just like all other phases of the space program. We're getting any bugs that we've had are getting ironed out, and we're hitting the point now where we can expect very good communications, other than perhaps a very brief period during the boost phase when the spacecraft is going through the high subsonic or high Q region.
Well, we're on the USB system too, and that one, I believe, in Apollo 7 was very clear. At least most of it that I heard.
This is a quantum jump better than Apollo 7, and certainly we haven't made that quantum jump just in the last 2 months. Doesn't it have something to do with the fact that you're getting away from interference on Earth or anything like that?
Can't answer that, Bill.
Well, we still had a few of the first rev Willys, which we ran into on 7. You remember we lost it over the Vanguard, and then it jumped around at Canaries on the first rev on 7,
and we had a little of that this time. It's an Antareve, I think, or one of those stations where they just didn't quite come up.
Well, I think you've got a good point. I think it's better since we've gone up than it was in Earth orbit, or it seems to me. I'm not a communications expert.
We should have comms so good from the simulator.
if there is a technical explanation for this that some communications expert could come up with, could you get it for us and just pass
Surely.
It?
Surely. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there must be.
Yeah.
In view of the slant of your question, I'm sure they'd be happy to respond.
Was any attempt made after S4B separation to simulate a docking maneuver? And if not, would this have been possible? Were the rates of the S4B too great to simulate this maneuver?
No, we didn't make an attempt to physically dock. They were scheduled to move in fairly closely and take photographs and evaluate that sort of thing, but not in the sense of actually moving into a dock.
Around.
But they did turn around and should have moved close and taken photographs. Yes, the booster attitudes were stable.
Don?
Cliff, is the reason for making this mid-course with the SPS primarily of fuel consideration then?
Well, there's a crossover point, depending on the weight of the spacecraft, that you would choose to go either RCS or SPS. Now, if you're over something around 12 feet a second or so, we would prefer to go SPS. And additionally, this gives us a test of the SPS engine.
Cape, let's get down the Cape.
Yeah, this is the Cape. We'll be coming up with a question in just a moment.
You'll have to come up here for questions, sorry.
I identify
a question. George Alexander, Newsweek. For Mike Collins. Mike, could you tell us how you felt, since you were once a member of the crew, how you felt when you gave the Apollo 8 crew the go for TLI?
Oh, it was a great feeling. I never had any doubt that we'd be able to give them a go for TLI, and of course, I think we were excited on the ground about it very much, so I'm sure they were on board the spacecraft, although they came back rather matter-of-factly. I think, as you know, that tends to be the case in these flights when there are a long sequence of fast-paced events laid together. The crew is always looking toward the future, And I'm sure right after the TLI burn, although they were very impressed by the fact they were on their way, their attention was devoted forward in the flight plan to the next tasks coming up for them.
Mike, what I meant was your own feelings about not being with them at that point.
Well, I think I was in the second best place to be, I'll put it that way.
Second best place to be.
Second best. Yeah, that's
good.
You got a question?
Go ahead, Jack. Jack Jones, Dayton News. Why is the mid-course going to be considerably more than they said at the post-launch? What's the meaning for this?
Okay. You mean the post-launch when we were indicating something like 7 or 8, 9 feet per second? if that's the question. We did the extra separation maneuver from the booster to get distance prior to the dumping. This energy added to the orbit has caused the mid-course to increase to somewhere around 24, 25 feet per second.
F. Clark, Newsweek. I want to be clear whether the SPS, whether the burn that you made to separate, second burn, was made with the RCS.
Yes, it was made with the RCS.
Your mid-course burn as a test of the SPS, is that correct?
Well, we'll combine things. We'll need to make the mid-course, and we'll use the SPS, so this will give us a good test of it prior to getting to the moon.
Danny, you're doing a very good job, Mr. Haney. No further questions from here.
Thank you, Mr. King. It was right on time. Walter, do you have your hand up? I see. Well, if you understand it, then... Sir? Yes, I thought nobody had ever asked the price of the flight. Is that... Okay, thanks very much.